as we start a new series, really, we're going to be working through chapter 13 in Mark. And we're going to spend several weeks here in this chapter, calling it Signs of the Seasons. But again, we're going to be looking, as we get into this, at end times prophecy. When we come to this passage, that's what the Lord is talking to about his disciples, is what's going to be happening in the last days. And so that's what we're going to be focusing in on. Let's just read it together. Let's read the first few verses together, then we'll go back and look at it more closely. Notice there it says, "Then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, 'Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down.' And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John and Andrew asked him privately, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things will be fulfilled?' And Jesus answered them and began to say, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows." Prophecy is a very, very exciting subject. It's a very interesting subject. As we come to chapter 13 in Mark, that's where we are. We're talking about prophecy. Now, not all of you get to hear Signs of the Times that we do on Fridays at 1:30. So you don't know really what's going on as far as maybe current events that are happening. Some of you do listen. You know what's going on. But either way, we're going to spend some time, a few weeks, looking at what the Lord said was going to be happening prophetically and really look at what's going on in our world today, because we do live in exciting times. Now, some people will ask and say, "Mark, why do you spend time in prophecy?" Well, prophecy is about 1/4, some say as much as 1/3 of the Bible. And that means there's a lot of attention given by the Lord to prophecy. And so, therefore, we should be giving it a lot of attention as well. As we begin to look at this passage, we're going to see again that the Lord wants them to learn about prophecy. Now, we mentioned this last week, but it's interesting to me to note the things that God wanted to touch on in his last week on the earth. 1 week to go, what would you do? If you had 1 week to go, you knew that was it, what would be the subjects that you would bring up, that you would talk about? And it's very interesting to me to notice that final week and the things that the Lord reemphasized. Now, remember the setting. The disciples had been in Bible college for the last 3 years with Jesus, traveling around the countryside. Not literally in Bible college, no classes, that kind of thing. But what better Bible college could you get than traveling with the Lord? There wouldn't be any better Bible college. It would have been great. And so they've had all these classes, so to speak, all this teaching, all this happened, and now it's time for the final exam. They're down to the last week, and the Lord wants to make sure that you guys are ready. He wants to make sure that we are ready. He's saying, "Hey, this is what we've learned. Let's recap the most important things and nail it down." And I find that interesting, a lot of the fact that prophecy is one of the things that the Lord found important enough to focus in on with the disciples. Now, they ask him this question, but he knew they were going to ask him. And so I think if it's important for the disciples to know prophecy, it's also important for us to know prophecy as well. And as we looked at the things the Lord shared, prophecy is probably one of the most important. Now, they're all very important, but prophecy seems to be almost one of the most important besides salvation in the day in which we live, because there is so much happening prophetically around the world. One pastor said it this way. He said, "You know what? I believe we are living more in the Bible times today than we did in the days of Jesus Christ when he walked the earth." Now, that's a radical statement. Because you could say, how in the world could we be living more in the Bible times today than when Jesus walked the earth? The reason is, guys, when Jesus walked the earth, one of the signs was being fulfilled, and that was the Messiah for the first time was here. The amazing and exciting thing to me about the days we live in, there's probably 10 or 12 prophetic things all happening right now at one time. We have the one world government coming together, the one world religion coming together, an identification system coming together for all people. All these things the Bible said would happen. Israel back in the land. So I can agree with that statement that we're living just as much, if not more, in the days of the Bible. You know, sometimes you read the Bible and think, wow, wouldn't it have been neat to live back then and see all this happening? Well, it would have been in one way. But at the same time, we're seeing just as much, if not more, now. Another thing about prophecy, remember, the Lord rebuked the Jews of the day for not giving it enough attention. He spoke to them. He said this, "Look, you can discern the signs of the sky, whether it's going to rain, whether it's not going to rain, what it's going to be like. You can figure that out." He said, "But you don't know the signs of the times." And so, guys, the question would be for us today, do we know the signs of the times? Do we recognize what's happening right in front of us? And I think when we know what to expect, we're more prepared and less fearful when it happens. You know, I remember as a kid, when you didn't know what was going to happen, it was scary. You'd go to the doctor, what's he going to do to me, you know? And then sometimes, I guess, if you're young enough, when you find out, you know, you still don't want to go. As a matter of fact, all the more reason not to, right? I remember my brother, when he was little, he found out somehow he was going to get a shot. They had to dig him out from under the bed just to get him in the car. And yet, when it comes to us as believers, it's not that way. The Lord tells us what's going to happen so we can rest. Guys, we have to remember as we go through all these things that are going to be happening prophetically, Jesus is on the throne. He's in control of all things, and we can trust in him and rest in him. I also find it interesting that prophecy is one of the most popular subjects in the Bible. And I know why, because people want to know what the future holds. Now, we've talked about this before, but we need to be well-rounded Christians. That's why Paul said, I have not declined to declare to you the full counsel of God's word. That is why it is my heart to declare to you the full counsel of God's word. That is why on Sunday nights we've gone through the entire Bible, and now we've already gone through another probably third of it again as we work through it, because I want to make sure that you hear all of the Bible, not just maybe my favorite parts or your favorite parts, because guys, you and I need well-rounded meals. This is your meal right here. And you need broccoli, you know, a little bit of numbers every so often. You know, you need some peas and some Brussels sprouts, a little bit of Leviticus. And people say, I don't like reading those books because it's like this. Listen, God put them there for a reason. They're going to make you healthy. When your kids are young and growing, that's the kind of things you want them to have. You want them to have their vegetables, and you want them to have all the things that they like. My mom, even when I was in college, my mom said to me, Mark, make sure you eat your green things. And I said, Mom, I'm a college student. Everything in my refrigerator is green. So I was eating my green things, that's for sure. But that's not what she meant. That's what I meant, not what she meant. But we need that. And then we come to where we need the meat, right? What's the meat? Well, we get into all the doctrinal books, Romans, you know, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, all the solid doctrine. You're getting the meat of the Word of God. And then you get into all the dessert, what we're having Sunday. And actually, this is a Sunday on Sunday, and that is prophecy. It's like the dessert. It's like the fun part. It's like, wow, this is great. What's going to happen? And we tend to have an obsession with what's going to be happening in the last days. We want to know what the future holds. I mean, you've seen it. Even the shows on TV, the newspaper gets delivered, and you know tomorrow's headlines the day before. Wouldn't that be something? And so we all kind of have these, you know, fantasies in our mind about knowing what the future is. But what's amazing to me is God has given us the Bible and tells us the future. What amazes me is how many people run to the world or other sources to find it out when the Bible has been proven to be 100% accurate in all areas of prophecy and in every other area of teaching. And yet, although the Bible up to this point has shown itself to be 100% true of everything that it said was going to happen, and it has come to pass, people still run to other things like Nostradamus. You know, you're up here, ask about Nostradamus or some other, you know, psychic or whatever, you know, or tarot card reader, or maybe now this new 2012 movie that's out. What's going to happen in 2012, right? Is all this stuff going to happen? Guys, listen, I want you to know something. The world is not going to end in 2012. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that the rapture of the church is going to take place. And after the rapture of the church, where God takes his bride off of this earth, there's going to be 7 more years of tribulation on the earth before the Lord comes back. Really 3.5 of great tribulation, the first 3.5 of this false peace, if you will. But the bottom line is, you don't have to worry about those kind of dates. No one knows the day or the hour. Jesus said that. And certainly Jesus could have known about 2012 had he wanted to at that time. Now he knows now that he's back in the kingdom, but his man, he laid down those rights. And the bottom line, God holds that in his hands when the day is going to be. And so we don't look to those things, but a lot of people do. It's just amazing to me because they are so inaccurate and maybe barely get things that are kind of, you ever see him on these shows try to twist Nostradamus? He kind of says something and say, now it could mean if you put 1 foot behind your left ear and twist this way and look back over your head, it could mean he meant this. It's not even close. And yet people go, ooh, that's real, right? Because the Bible so clearly lays it out. God has told us what's going to happen. Now, he hasn't given us every detail about what's going to happen, but God has told us what's going to happen, and that's why that's exciting to me. You know, it's interesting, when you talk about our nation, as we see our nation in decline in many areas, one of the things that my hope has been as a pastor is that you would see the nation driven more and more to the church and more to God, but that doesn't seem to be the case, according to this article from Fox News called Crystal Ball Boom, Psychics, Tarot Card Readers, Profit in a Tough Economy. Let me read some of this for you off of Fox News. As we go through this whole series of looking at the signs of the seasons and the end time stuff, we're going to bring a couple of articles into it. So you'll be getting some articles as well. Fortune tellers and tarot card readers and psychics have reported an uptick in business during the current economic downturn as people look for guidance, employment advice, and a window into their personal economic future. Why not the Bible? Isn't it amazing? Rather than running to the Bible, what they run to, it goes on. In the past, the majority of customers flocked to psychics for advice on their relationships and love lives, but the questions today revolve mostly around finding a job and money. Psychics at the Psychic Eye Bookstore in Sherman Oaks say that their business is being driven by fear today about the economy and by their clients' financial security. And while many might view astrology or fortune telling as a luxury service, many mediums say their business is holding steady and in some cases doing better, as people look for guidance in the difficult economic times. Note this, the American Association of Psychics, did you know there's an American Association of Psychics? If you were a psychic, you'd have known that. I'm sorry, let's go ahead. says that not only is business booming, but there has been a booming interest in employment in the field as well. Well, no wonder. Because it goes on, you know, the guys are coming in to get what they want as far as the future. They're, hey, you got a job? You know, they're trying to get a job or whatever. But notice this. This is the sad part to me in this. It says the classes that once had a dozen students are now filled with as many as 30 students at a time. Guys, the seeking out of the future by mediums and by psychics has more than doubled. Rather than the church being filled up, people are running to other sources. Why? The Bible holds the answers. Now, I know why it is they're looking for a job in this career, because it says that the psychics with a big following earn up to $200 an hour. And so they're charging a lot of money. Well, listen, I want to tell you the future today for free. All right, how's that? Because the Bible tells us what the future is, and you don't have to pay anything for it. God gives it freely in His Word. He says, what you freely received, freely give. That's what we're going to be looking at as we go through this whole passage, this whole section. Now, in my Bible program, it's interesting. When I look up certain portions of Scripture and punch them into my Bible program, it brings out words that are more important in the language than other words. And it was interesting to me that when I punched this particular passage in, the two words that were the most prominent were wars and deceit. And guys, that's interesting to me because I think that most, even unbelievers, know about wars in the last days. They've heard about Armageddon. You know, it's interesting. Most unbelievers, if they don't know anything about the Bible, they know about 666 and Armageddon. And they might not know what 666 is other than it's something that really crazy people, you know, put on their hand or their forehead or something, right? And they know about Armageddon because some big battle they think is going to end the world, when really that's not even going to end the world. The battle of Armageddon is when Jesus Christ comes back in the second coming. And then the Bible says there's another 1,000 years after that with the Lord ruling and reigning on the earth. So Armageddon is even not even the very end. That doesn't happen until after the Lord rules the earth for 1,000 years. But even the unbeliever, typically they know about Armageddon and they know about 666. But what jumped out to me about this as far as wars and deceit was, I don't think most people know that deceit is going to play such a huge role in the last days. As the Bible says, Satan is a deceiver. And the Bible says that even the elect would be destroyed and even deceived if it wasn't for the Lord coming back for us. And the Lord working sooner in the believer's life in the last days. And so understand, deceit is going to be a huge part of what is coming upon the earth. The Bible calls it, the world will be believing the lie. Scripture says, and then Scripture tells us what it is though. What is the lie? It encompasses a lot of things. But the Bible tells us that in the last days, Satan will organize and create a one world government, a one world religion, a one world currency, and a one world identification system called the mark to keep up with all of it. And the Bible reveals this is what is called the revived Roman Empire. Now, 2,000 years ago, when Rome ruled the world, they were a world empire. They ruled the world. Everyone was subservient to Rome. They had the one world religion. They had everybody had to pinch incense to Caesar. Even if you believe something else, you still had to pinch incense to Caesar to be a Roman citizen and to be a part of Rome. And if you didn't, there were penalties, sometimes even death. So they had the one world religion, they had the one world government, they had all these different things that were in place. And the Bible says that that is going to be revived in the last days for us as well. So what that means is we're going to know that we're at the very end when we see this beginning to take place. How many of you keep up with the news? Guys, this is happening at an incredibly rapid rate. Now, I've always wondered as a prophecy teacher how it was going to happen. Because the Bible says that there's going to be the one world government and it's going to be based out of Europe. In other words, Europe is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, and America and all the other nations are going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. What do we see happening before our very eyes today? Would you ever have dreamed America would be in the place that we're in now? Guys, we may claim to be the world's leader, but we're really no longer the leader of the world. We are quickly losing that status. And the revived Roman Empire is based out of Europe. That's exactly what's happening. We are declining. They are going up. And all the things that were supposed to happen are happening. We talk about the one world currency. I don't know if you know this. The euro, they call it over there, that's taking over. You know, guys, the dollar is not going to be the standard for spending around the world very shortly. I don't know what the standard is going to be, but it's not going to be the dollar. And it may very well be the euro, which is now much more valuable than the dollar. Again, because of our economic situation and because Europe is on the rise. And so, again, we're going to see this decline of America and this increase, if you will, of the revived Roman Empire. Now, why do I find that interesting in a lot of this article? Again, I have another article I want to share with you about a group called the Club of Rome. Maybe some of you have heard of the Club of Rome. It's interesting to me when we look at what their goals are, why they call them the Club of Rome, because we're talking about the revived Roman Empire, and there's some very important people involved in the Club of Rome. Very famous people you would know. Tony Blair is a part of the Club of Rome. Al Gore is a part of the Club of Rome. The list goes on. There's a lot of people around the world that are a part of this Club of Rome. And it's interesting to understand who they are and what they do. Let me share a little bit about them. They are a committee of 300 that were organized in 1968 by what is called the Morgenthau Group for the purpose of accelerating the plans of a new world order, hopefully to be in place by the year 2000. Now, again, they're a little bit behind, but guys, we are right on track, aren't we? And what's interesting is they don't even know what they're doing. They know what they're doing, but they don't know that it was prophesied and that God has them right where they're supposed to be. They don't recognize that. We do recognize it. And we should recognize it. We need to see these signs of the times, if you will. But this goes on. It's very interesting what their goals are. In 1976, this association, the Club of Rome, notice this, some of the goals that they have. Number one, to unite the world in a new world order by the year 2000. And they were formed. Another purpose was to shut down the U.S. economy by a gradual method. Isn't that interesting? Their goal is to shut down the U.S. economy by a gradual method. Why? Because unless the U.S. loses its supremacy around the world economically and in other ways, we would never blend in with the rest of the world. And note this, nor would we ever give up any of our sovereignty that we have under the Constitution. And what the Club of Rome has been waiting on is a president who would allow them to undermine the sovereignty of our American Constitution. Guys, this stuff in one way is scary, but when you see it beginning to happen, maybe many of you have heard about this Copenhagen Treaty that's supposed to be signed this December by our president. There's these signs. You see these signs when you come in, the big green sign when you pass coming up from Maryville, it says Hopenhagen. You ever wonder what that is? Maybe you've seen it in other parts of town. It's a takeoff on this treaty that our president has already said he is going to sign. I believe the date is December 22nd. But what's interesting about this is when he signs it, it gives up a portion of the sovereignty of our Constitution if it's ratified. How so? We will now be under a world regulation system that will guard what we can manufacture, how much carbon dioxide we can put out, and all these different things that they're touting as this wonderful thing for the earth, but it's going to take away portions of the sovereignty of the United States and even our government, and it's only going to go on from there. So exactly as the Club of Rome was trying to do is happening before our very eyes. And again, remember, the point was they have to unite the entire world. The Bible said this is exactly what would happen. So I find it for me to be very bittersweet. It's bitter on one end because I love this country and I hate to see it dying before my very eyes. It's sweet because on the other hand, I know that means Jesus is coming back that much sooner. Guys, it's happening. Why am I telling you this? Your eyes need to be open. You need to understand when you read the newspaper and watch the news what this stuff means, because the newscaster is not going to tell you. But God will tell you if you know his word. And if you know it, you'll be prepared when it happens. Let me go on. It's interesting. Speaking about this Club of Rome, and this is interesting in a lot of our healthcare system process they're trying to push through right now. Again, this is not to get political. That is not my point. Understand this. Listen, this is all in God's hands. This is much bigger than any of us. But I want you to understand what is happening. That doesn't mean that we don't make our voice known. That doesn't mean that we don't voice opposition where opposition needs to be voiced. What it means is we must understand it. Notice this. The key to a successful control of the world, the Club of Rome says, is the ability to create and manage savage economic recessions and eventual depressions. The Committee of 300 looks into social convulsions on a global scale. In other words, their job is to create worldwide crises. You know, I don't know why this H1N1 is being so blown out of proportion. It may still get to be something that's really bad, okay? But many of you don't know this, and I'm getting ahead of my articles for next week. But the definition of a pandemic was actually changed so they could make H1N1 a pandemic. I don't know if you realize that or not. It used to be there were a certain amount of deaths worldwide before they could declare it a pandemic. There doesn't have to be anymore. The actual definition, I don't think it gave a number, but just talked about how much there had to be, that it had to be a certain thing. They changed the definition to the number of cases that someone catches. It's as if we're watching these global crises being created in front of our very eyes and making everyone afraid so that we'll all get in line and do whatever the system tells us we need to do. Guys, we need to have our spiritual glasses on and recognize what's going on. By the way, in America, every year we have 37,000 deaths due to flu. The swine flu is now on its second round in America, and there are 3,900 dead. We are so far below the number of deaths that normally happen. And yet you would think that we're all about to die, that Chicken Little's running around, the sky's going to fall, right? I'm like, guys, I smell not a chicken, I smell a rat. Something's not right. I haven't figured out what's going on with this, but something is spiritual, it's larger than us, and it probably ties into this whole drive of this Club of Rome for the worldwide situations to unify the world, to get us all thinking and saying, we got to pull together. If we don't have this, you know, unified healthcare, how can we link with all the other nations? How can they link with us? How can there eventually be a system where some type of mark is going to be given, where everyone's information will be readily available on their person? Because the Bible says that when the world unites, there's going to be a mark. We know it as the mark of the beast. And it's going to carry basically all of our information. It's ingenious. Listen, if I wasn't saved and I didn't know what the Bible said, I would be all for it. This is fantastic because notice what this thing can do. You take a small chip in your hand, which by the way, they already have for people. Some people have already taken it for different things, whether they belong to a club or some type of experimental stuff, where all your information is transferred to electronic form. And then they can keep up with you no matter where you are. And you can keep up with everything in your life by simply having something with you right there. It's ingenious. Think about it. If all of your medical, how are they going to keep up with everyone electronically if the healthcare passes, gang? Everything's going to have to be electronic. Matter of fact, before I even get back to that, here I go on all my little tangents, but somebody came up to me right afterwards of the service and said, you know what, I work for Covenant Health and we have a number of hospitals. And he said, it's interesting a lot of what you're sharing today because the government just recently contacted us and told us that, you know, all these files that you see in the hospitals of all these paper files, they just contacted us and said, you have a certain deadline to get everything electronic. And if you don't, we're going to fine you big time. It's already happening. Get all the records electronic. Then all you have to do is transfer those records to a little microchip. The little microchip, I'm not saying that's what the mark will be, but the technology is now in place for the hand or the forehead. Again, it's ingenious. Guys, all your information. If you're unconscious in an accident, they scan your hand and now they know how to treat you. If you need to get your information to somebody, everything's right there in your hand. Listen, crime is going to plummet when they do this. Why? Which is going to make the person who brings this out a hero, because if you can do all your transactions by your hand, why do you need cash? You simply go and scan your hand at Kroger's and it lowers your account. Everything can be purchased right there. And so when you think about it, it's ingenious. It's wonderful. It's easy. You'd never lose your kids. I mean, some of your parents probably wish you had a little GPS right now in them, you know? You want to put a little chip in the chip off the old block, right? And I jokingly say that because you could follow them around, you know? It's like, you know, Mom, I'll be home in a minute. I'm still at my buddy's house. No, you're not. I see you're at the mall. Now, I'll stop that. Oops, I hate this thing, you know? But guys, understand this. When this guy comes in with all of these ideas, everybody's going to go, wow. That's awesome. What an amazing thing. Oh, a little thing in my hand. It's not going to hurt. A tiny size of a rice they have them now. Piece of rice. Ah, I like it. Easy. Got all my information. Everything's done. It makes life. All the paperwork you have to fill out when you go to the doctor. Oop, just done. All the paperwork you fill out for a job. Boop, done. There's no more. It's just done. It's all being put in place so that we'll be ready. I want you to have the mindset to understand what is underway. It's all being worked. And let me say this. I don't think man's smart enough to come up with this because too many things are happening in too many places all at one time. This is a spiritual event. It's much larger than anything we understand or know. And even these group involved in this particular thing here, they don't know what they're doing. It's interesting. It goes on. The committee of 300 looks into social convulsions on a global scale, followed by depressions as a softening up technique for bigger things to come. As its principal method, notice this, as its principal method of creating masses of people all over the world who will become in a welfare state of recipient in the future. In other words, let me put this in modern language. We want to make it in such a way that everyone in the world, including the United States, depends on the government to give them everything they need because then we can control them. And independence is gone. And freedom is gone. And this guy can step on the scene out of Europe and say, oh, have I got some wonderful plans to unite the world in this new age. And we'll all just take this mark and we'll be able to keep up with everything and everybody and we'll be able to manage the entire world and we'll all make sure that you have food to eat and health care and all the things that you need will all be taken care of. And guys, just this master plan that's being put together that we're all kind of walking toward, and it's almost like we're in this, you know, line of almost just a bunch of cattle in one way heading toward this way, and it seems that the majority of the world doesn't even see what's happening. I don't want you to be like that. I want you to see it. I want you to know it. The Lord reveals it. He shows it to us. It's very interesting in a lot of what's happening in the world because we're watching all this happen before our very eyes. And who would have dreamed that we'd see it, especially in my lifetime? I honestly didn't think that we'd be seeing it. And as we get into chapter 13, again, we're going to be looking at three different things. We're not going to get very far today, so don't worry about that. But what are the three questions that they asked the Lord? Now, we only see two of the questions asked here in Mark at the end of verse 4. But in Matthew, when we get the full story, there's three specific questions that they ask the Lord. And those questions are this: when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? And when will the end of the age be? Now, again, we're going to look at the first one this week and next week, probably finish it up. When will these things be? Let's just jump into it. Notice chapter 13, verse 1. It says, then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Now, again, the complex on the Temple Mount was an amazing structure. It was one of the wonders of the world. It was just unbelievable. It was said that, as a matter of fact, let's go ahead and put that picture up there. Do we have that picture ready so they can see a picture of what it looked like? There have been models that have been made. This is a recent model that's been made to give you an idea of what the Temple Mount area looked like. But guys, to describe just a little bit of this to you so you'll understand, this was an amazing, amazing structure. It was, again, one of the wonders of the world in that day. The stones of the temple of the building were, some of them were said to be as much as 40 feet long and 20 feet high, weighing up to as much as 120 tons. Imagine that. And when we went to Israel, some of you that have been to Israel, you've seen some of the stones of the foundation that were on, they're on the Temple Mount. The temple itself is actually gone, but the stones there underneath that were holding the whole structure together, or some of them are still there. They're amazing. It's unbelievable the size of these stones. You can see some of them. The temple was made of a shiny marble that had all kinds of ornaments on it. And according to the historian Josephus, who lived at that time, he said that the marble was so white when the sun hit it, it looked like a snow-covered mountain. Just overwhelming to the eyes. It jutted up seven, you know, stories high, the actual temple itself did, after already being up on top of the mount, and was surrounded again by these pillars. As you enter, there were two rows of pillars, 37 and a half feet tall, each one made of one solid piece of marble. Wow. Think about that. You ever seen pillars like in Washington and they have like, you know, the individual sections that they put together, this kind of thing? These were all one piece of marble that were put together. Amazing structure. Herod was quite the builder and this was quite the structure. They said it looked like a mountain. By the time you walked down in the Kidron Valley and looked up, and you can't really see the Kidron Valley from that particular angle of where it would be, but they said it was like a mountain looking up. And again, it was just an overwhelming, amazing thing. But what's more amazing is what the Lord tells them about this, because they were so impressed. Notice they said, Lord, look at the manner of stones. Look at this amazing structure that's been built by man. And what the Lord wanted them to know is, no, it doesn't matter how great man's accomplishments are. Every one of them are going to one day be destroyed. And all that's going to be left is Jesus Christ standing alone. And guys, that's something we've got to understand and grasp as believers. Everything in this world is going to be shaken. And when it's all shaken, the only thing that's going to be left that's going to be standing is Jesus Christ. The question is, are you standing today on Jesus Christ? If you're standing on the rock, that when everything begins to shake, you're going to be firm. If you're not standing on the rock, when everything begins to shake, you're going to be shaken along with it. And the only thing that's going to be left, is, as we said, is God and the things of God. Jesus wanted to redirect them and to redirect their thoughts in this, because notice what he says there in verse 2. I think it's almost shock treatment. Jesus said to them, do you see these great buildings? Now imagine these buildings. Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Wow. Try to imagine that. They would have been in shock. How can this happen? This is so magnificent. Look at this thing that man has done. He says, I want you to understand, doesn't matter how magnificent what man has done is, it's all going to come down one day. You know, I'm quite amazed by today's technology. I love it. You know, the new technology we have in our phones and all these different things, just amazing what you can do anymore. But the bottom line is, guys, as great as those things are and as wonderful and convenient as they are, they're nothing compared to the Lord. And one day they're all going to be gone and nothing's going to be there but us and the kingdom of God. And I can guarantee you it's going to be a lot better cell reception up there. I mean, it's going to be amazing at the technology. What's it going to be like in heaven? I don't know. It's going to be amazing. But I tried to imagine how shocking this would be. Now, maybe we can do this. Run with me in your mind over to Washington, D.C., Imagine we're sitting on a hill and we can see, you know, the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, the White House, the Capitol, all these buildings right there, we're watching them. And all of a sudden it would be as if the Lord said to us, and the Lord didn't say this, so don't worry, but it would be as if the Lord said to us, see all these buildings? Yes. And then get up close to the Capitol and say, wow, look at this thing. And if you've been in it, you know what I'm talking about. And you go in the Library of Congress and all these pillars and marble and beauty and all this stuff. He says, every bit of this is going to be leveled and destroyed. Wow. How could that be, Lord? This is the great United States of America. It's going to be gone. Now, again, the Bible doesn't say that, so I'm not speaking here prophetically. At least I hope. But I'm trying to give you an idea of what it would be like to imagine if someone just said that to you out of the blue. Wow, Lord, look at Washington. Look at the Capitol. Look at the Washington Monument, the White House, and all these memorials, and the Library of Congress. There's all this marble and shiny and pillars and beautiful. This is great. And he said, all of a sudden, guys, you know what? It's all going to be knocked down. It's all going to be destroyed. Okay, now you've got my attention. What do you mean, Lord? And now you know why they ran to the Lord to ask him and say, Lord, what does all this mean? When's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? What's the sign of your coming? What does all this mean, Lord? You can imagine the shock and the urgency in their heart and in their minds when all this began to happen. We would have had the same thing. And so it not only is going to give the Lord an opportunity to share with them what's going to happen, which he wants them to know, but it's also going to help them get their eyes off of man and onto God and realize that, you know what? If all of this is going to be gone, as nice as it is, and as impressive as it is, we need to make sure that we're focusing in on the Lord. And so they get a reality check here about what's going to be happening. And see, when the Lord said all these are going to be knocked down, he was speaking prophetically. Because the Lord knew in 70 AD that Titus was going to ride in with the Roman legions and wipe Jerusalem out. And he also knew that the soldiers were going to come in there at the Temple Mount and, according to some accounts, in a drunken stupor, sling flares, their torches into the temple and catch it on fire. Some say that really Titus didn't want to destroy the temple. It was so magnificent. These guys are partying, drinking, and burn it all down. They throw it in there, and the place goes up in flames. And now they have the destruction of the temple. Now, okay, so the temple burned, but what about all the stones? How did they come down? Well, again, historians tell us that when they burned, the gold that was on the inside of the walls of the temple melted and ran down into the cracks of the stone. And guess what the soldiers were not about to leave with until they got it? The gold. And historians tell us they took each stone one by one and threw them down to retrieve the gold that had melted between the cracks of the temple. Now, why is that exciting? For a number of reasons. Number one, exactly what Jesus said was going to happen, happened. Everything the Bible says is going to happen, happens. Everything Jesus said was going to happen, happens. And what's even more exciting to me about this is they threw these stones off of the Temple Mount. They're gone today. They're not up there. They were thrown off on the lower area. Now, they didn't know that until just recently. For the 3,000th anniversary of Jerusalem, they went down another 15 feet on the southern side of the Western Wall as a celebration to go down to the streets of Jesus' day. And when they got down there, they uncovered, and they're still there today. If you go, you can see them, huge piles of temple stones that have been poured off and are laying back there behind the wall that were destroyed. Now, why is that exciting to me? Because when I saw those stones, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Remember when Jesus was riding in on his donkey and the nation of Israel was refusing to acknowledge their Messiah? Now, the disciples were. They were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And all the other people that loved him were shouting it. But the Jews as a nation and all the religious leaders, well, this is make them be quiet. Make them be quiet. Remember that? Jesus said, if these are quiet, the stones will cry out. See, the stones didn't need to cry out back then because the people weren't quiet. In Israel today, the leaders of Israel are quiet about Jesus. They don't believe in him. They don't acknowledge him. So God said, you know what? I gave my word. I said that the stones would cry out if you wouldn't as a nation. So I'm going to give you a pile of stones. I'm going to give it to you right here. And what's neat about this, they walk to the Western Wall to do all their prayers. They have to walk past this pile of stones to get to the place they pray. And every day they walk by these stones, and those stones go, hey, remember when Jesus prophesied that we'd be thrown down and we'd all be off the Temple Mount? Here we are. Hi again. Good morning, guys. Hi. Hi, as y'all go by. Hey, remember when Jesus? And the whole time they have to walk by going, those are the stones. And I hate those Christians reminding us that Jesus said that was going to happen, because that's exactly what happened. And every day we have to see it. Guys, the stones are crying out. Isn't that awesome? Even as God said, you can depend on his word. You can believe in his word. And so this is just exciting to see exactly how it all comes into place and how it all happened. He says, guys, every bit of it's going to be gone. It's going to be thrown down. Look at verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign all these things will be fulfilled? Now, guys, note this, because again, this is very interesting to me. They pulled him aside and he spoke to them. How? Privately. Why is that exciting to me? A number of reasons that's exciting, because guys, you know what? As believers, you get to hear information that the world doesn't get to hear. How many of you think this is going on right now on CNN? How many of you think Fox News is having this discussion? How many of you think in the city hall they're having this discussion? I'm not saying that some issues of religion don't come up in some of these circles. But guys, the bottom line is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a special club membership. You have a special pass where you get the inside information that the world doesn't get. You're having things revealed to you that the rest of the world doesn't have revealed to them, and the rest of the world doesn't know. God will pull you aside privately and share these things with you. And that's exciting. That's why we as the church know what's going on, and the world has no clue. Have you noticed? Guys, here we are marching toward this one world government, this one world currency, this one world everything. We're just marching toward it. We're getting all inclusive. All religions need to get along. We're marching toward the one world religion, and everybody's just in line, just kind of going, yep, this is the way we're going, and I don't have a problem with it. And the church is over going, wait a minute. Don't you see that the Bible says this is exactly what the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist will do? Don't you understand and recognize? And yet we do see it. Why? Because you have private connections to the Lord that the world doesn't have. Tracy and I were talking just the other day how amazed we were that the world doesn't see what's going on. It's like when they say all these things, don't you recognize what the Bible has said? What amazes me, guys, is there are some churches and some pastors that don't seem to know what's going on. And I'm thinking, you know what? If you would just go and buy one of these, you would know what's going to happen. And if you would simply read it. And I don't, please, I don't mean that to be flippant about something. I'm saying that it's amazing to me. The Bible lays it all out so clearly. All we have to do is read our Bible and know our Bible. And yet, in these last days, the Bible says there'll be a great falling away. Another one of the signs that we're in the last days is that the church itself will turn away from the Word of God. It's going to be harder and harder to find a church that actually teaches the Bible. That's what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days. And then when you do find a church that teaches the Bible, it's going to be harder and harder to find people that'll go to it. Because the Bible says they'll be heaping together those that have itching ears. Tell me a nice story. You know, do something fun and entertaining. Make the stage blow up or do something. You know, just make the pastor do something crazy or whatever. They want to be entertained. And so the Bible warns us this is going to happen. But I love it because we get private information that the rest of the world doesn't get. And so the Lord shows us things that the rest of the world doesn't see. And guys, that's what I want you to recognize. Notice, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of these things? And again, after walking to the Mount of Olives, they sit down, and with his disciples, they begin to ask him about the future. And next week, we'll jump into that. You can read ahead if you'd like. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to spend, again, the signs of the season. We're going to spend time in this as we work through this and talk about these things. Because here's what I want. I want this body to be well-equipped as to what's going on. My responsibility before God is you guys. And I don't want you guys getting to heaven going, you know, we had no idea it was going to happen that way. And I'm not saying that everything I share is going to be 100% right. As far as what we see in the Bible, that's what we're going to cover. All the details that go in between, we may not know all of those. But guys, we need to be well-versed in what the Bible says is happening because it is coming. And it's happening faster than I ever dreamed it would happen. I would not have believed that we would be a month away from signing a treaty that could endanger our Constitution. I never would have dreamed that. To me, that was like, that won't happen in my lifetime. Or if it does, I really thought America would be blown up or something. That we would just be destroyed or somehow collapsed. I didn't think that we just would give up our sovereignty. I didn't think that we would just begin to blend in with the rest of the world and become like Europe. But that's exactly what's happening. I want you to understand that when you see it. Now, as we finish this today, that gives us two things I want you to really focus on. Number one, where are you as a believer in your walk with the Lord? Now's not a time to be goofing off. You know, it's interesting. Oftentimes we cover this subject of the Lord coming back very soon. And the Bible says that there's going to be more and more. Obviously, in the last days, there's going to be more and more pastors warning the body of Christ and the world. He's about to come back. He's about to come back. He's about to come back. Because it says that one of the other signs is there's going to be people saying, oh, you've been talking about the Lord coming back forever. Quit talking about that. Jesus isn't coming back. They've been saying, my grandmother used to say Jesus was coming back. My so-and-so, they're long dead. Look, we don't know when he's coming back. He may not come back in our lifetime, but he might. But the bottom line is we need to be ready, don't we? Here's how we do it. We live as if he's coming back today. We plan and prepare as if he's not coming back for 100 years. You take care of your family. You take care of your investments. You take care of wisdom that needs to be taken care of. But you live as if the Lord can yank you out of here. You know, when you go to the fire station, they set their fire clothes right there next to their bed. They don't know when or if the alarm's going to go off. They may lay there, if it's a small town, for months and even a year and never have one time they have to throw all that stuff on. But when that alarm goes off, they're glad they've got the clothing right there. They can jump in, grab that pole, slide down, and take off. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, there's going to be a trumpet blast. And when that trumpet blast happens, we had better be ready. It's not going to be time to prepare at that moment. Jesus gives the parable of the virgins who were unprepared. Five were ready, five were not ready. The five that were not ready didn't get to go with the Lord. The five that were ready did get to go with the Lord. And what was the difference? The difference was they prepared. They were watching. They were waiting. They didn't know. It's interesting, in the weddings in that day, you never knew when the groom was going to show up. The bride would wait in the Jewish wedding, and the groom could show up at any time, even at midnight. He could show up whenever with a big wedding party just to surprise her so she would never know when he was coming. And if she wasn't ready to go, can you imagine being the bride in that state? I guarantee you, ladies, you'd be ready all the time, wouldn't you? If you knew the time was near, it's like, man, you certainly look good at 1 a.m. Yeah, but it can happen any minute. I mean, certainly you'd have to rest. To me, it would almost be exhausting. I'd kill my husband if he didn't move quickly. Because you wouldn't get up in the flip-flops and the curlers, you know, and everything, the wedding party, you know. Guys, let's make sure we're not in flip-flops and curlers when the Lord comes for his bride. So that our hair be kept. So that our outfit be clean and ready to go. Let's make sure our lives are in tune with the things of God. And when the trumpet blast sounds, we go. And after that happens, wow, it's going to get really interesting down here, guys. And we're going to talk about that over the next few weeks. We're going to see a little bit of it as we work toward the rapture. We're going to see a lot of it after the rapture when the Lord begins to bring judgment on the earth for rejecting His Lord. You know, we come to this season every year and we've made the joke. I won't make it again. I'll remind you just for this point. When you see all the Christmas lights going up, you know, Thanksgiving's near. I change it now. When you see all the lights going up, that was before the end of October this year. You know, Halloween's near, right? Guys, here's my point. If these are the signs we're going to be looking at, and we're watching them all happen right now around the world, these are the signs not of the rapture. These are the signs of the second coming. The rapture happens 7 years before that. How much closer do you think that makes us? Here's my point. Let's get ready. Let's get the fire closed by the fire pole, by the bed. Let's make sure that we're ready for the shout of He's come. He's coming to pick us up to take us away for the wedding. Let's be ready. And the second thing is, if you don't know the Lord, it's time to become a part of His family and get ready right now. And it's very easy. The Bible says Jesus Christ died for you on a cross. He spilled His blood, and by His blood, if you will confess your sin and receive Him as Lord, you will be forgiven and you will be clean and you will go to heaven. But you've got to make that decision. Nobody can do it for you. You have to pray the prayer. You have to personally receive Him. It's got to be something you do. I remember growing up as a kid thinking, well, I go to church and my parents, you know, I go this, they go to church. No, Mark had to make the prayer. Mark had to make the decision. I had to do it. You've got to do it this morning. I want to give opportunity for both of us to do that. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank You so much for Your faithfulness to us. And as we look at subjects like prophecy, Lord, it can be very intense at times, especially when it's one thing to study it. It's another thing to live it. And we see ourselves living it. We see Rome being revived before our very eyes. The vision of Daniel in chapter 2 of Rome being revived. Lord, it's just amazing. And we see all that happening. We watch it happen before our eyes. And I just pray, God, as we watch this, that we as believers would be ready. We don't know when You're coming back. Lord, it's possible that it wouldn't be in our lifetime, but we're not willing to take that chance. Let us be ready, Lord, as a bride adorned, watching the door, ears wide open, for the bridal party to come and shout, for the trumpet to blast and us to go. Let us be those that are watching and waiting. You said those that are watching and waiting, You will reward when You come. Let us be those. And as believers, Lord, right now, if there's some issue we need to deal with and repent of, let us repent of it right now in our hearts in prayer to ask forgiveness and repent of it and be clean before You. And Lord, as well, if there's any in here that don't know You this morning and they're not a part of this at all, that is this family called the family of God, they've never given their life to You. And I pray that right now they would do that. They would know that it's only Your blood on the cross that forgives sin, and now they need to confess their sin. And if you're here and you're like that, begin to confess your sin right now. Ask God to forgive you of your sin based on His blood shed on the cross. And then say, Lord, come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And the Bible says if you do that, you will be born again. Father, we thank You for the work that You have done today by Your Spirit. Make us ready. Make us a bride adorned. And let our eyes, Lord, be focused on You and looking heavenward, living responsibly down here, occupying until You come, but not finding ourselves unprepared when that trumpet blast takes place, especially, Lord, as we see the signs of the times all around us, and You require us to know the season, if not the day. And we thank You, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.